Hello. Today we're going to hear from Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 as he tells the parable of the sower and the seed. For those of you who have been in church and have heard the stories of Jesus and his parables, this is one that's fairly familiar, easy to remember, but also not the easiest to dissect as far as where do we figure in, who's who, and even though Jesus does explain it. So let's just read it and hear what Jesus has to say. So here he is teaching the crowds. So Jesus said, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Now later in Matthew 13, Jesus explains this parable to the disciples, not something that he often does. So here, let's listen to Jesus' explanation. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So Jesus is telling this parable, and like good parables, we can dissect it, we can understand it, we can sort of figure out what it is that Jesus is trying to say. He tells the parables as he's talking to the disciples, and he tells them, he says these things in parables so that some may be able to understand and some won't. Some will be able to hear it and some won't. Some will grasp the concept of what he's saying and others won't. And so Jesus is giving the disciples some insider information about what the parables are, what they're intended to do, and what they mean. Now, if we look at this particular parable, the one of the sower and the seed, there's the mention of the sower, and his role is to take the seed out into the field and cast it into the ground so that it'll grow. Now, one thing to understand about this sower is he's indiscriminate, which doesn't make him a good sower, which is part of the irony of the parable, is that the sower is terrible. I would never hire this guy to sow the seeds in my field. Because he's wasting it. He's throwing it in places where it's not going to grow. You want somebody to sow the seed in a place where you can almost guarantee that it's going to be fruitful. This sower is just throwing it everywhere. And he's throwing it on the pathway where he's walking. He's throwing it into the weeds. He's throwing it into the thorns. He's throwing it into the rocks. This guy is terrible. But that's the beauty of the sower, is that he's going to share that word. He's going to spread the word everywhere. And we can look at the sower in a number of different ways. It could be us, as we seek to share the gospel with people around us, as we seek to share the word that we are to just serve and share and not care about where that word lands. The parable doesn't focus as much on the sower as he does on what happens to the seed when it lands. So rather than focus on the sower and his inability to do the job right, first we give thanks for the sower, because as the sower would be the Holy Spirit or Jesus himself, we are thankful that at some point he sowed the seed in our hearts. Our stony, hard, thorn wrapped up mess of hearts that we are. We are thankful that the sower was indiscriminate, that he shared it with everybody, including us. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that sower. So that remains for us to look at then, the ground, the soil. And when we hear this parable and we talk about, all right, well, what kind of soil are you? What kind of ground are you? What kind of dirt are you? And of course we want to say, well, we're the good soil. We're the lush and rich and you know, fruitful soil always. And I'm sure you would understand that that's not true. Yes, we are the soil that is fruitful. Yes, we are the soil that is rocky and full of thorns. And yes, we're the soil that's hard-packed and the Word of God doesn't even penetrate. Given our lives, we're that soil. We're all of that. So which soil are you? The answer is yes. I'm all of them. I'm all of those soil. Because, well, first of all, one thing is soil is passive. Soil is a receiver. The dirt, the ground, is not active in trying to find the right seeds to grow in it. It simply just sits there until the seed lands on it. By the grace of God, the seed lands on it. That's us. We are passive recipients of this incredible gift of God, the Word. We're passive recipients like the soil in that we aren't able to do anything to actively seek out that seed. If left to our own, we wouldn't even know that the seed exists. We wouldn't care. The soil that we are receives. If you notice in the parable, that's what happens. The soil receives whatever is cast onto it, however that soil is. So that soil receives it as rocky ground and there's no place for it to go. That soil receives it as thin ground and there's no place for the root to grow. The soil receives it as it grows amongst thorns and thistles and there's no place for it to grow. Or the soil receives it as good soil. That doesn't always sit well with us. We want to be the good soil. And I think that's where a key difference is for us as Christians. As those who have received the Word, as those who have heard the Word, as those who have been baptized, as those who have been regularly fed the Word of God through the Scriptures, through church, through friends, through Bible study, we are the good soil. And what we will produce, well, that's up to the seed's growth. It'll produce what it will. So when we say we want to be the good soil, that's fantastic. We at the beginning can't do anything to participate in that, but once the seed has been planted, once the seed has been sown into the good soil, then the soil then participates in it by feeding it nutrients, by nourishing it. So when that word has been planted in you, as a pastor, I want to encourage you. I want to motivate you to maintain that good soil. To maintain the balance of nutrients in your soil that word grows in. And you do that through regular study of the word, regular prayer, however that looks, regular sharing of the word with those around you, regular service, you know, these things that are the fruit that Jesus talks about. That's what enriches the soil. That's what keeps that soil good. Now, yeah, at times we are the rocky soil, we are the thorny soil, we are the thin soil. And sometimes that word hits in our hearts and it just bounces right off. We can see that in the world around us when the word is shared, that some of it, you know, may germinate a little bit, may come to something. We leave that up to God, right? but sometimes it just doesn't go anywhere. So there's lots of different types of soil in people around us. There's lots. And even in our own lives, like I said. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus says. If you hear what I'm saying, what I want to encourage you as the soil in which God's word has been planted, is continue to nourish that. But also to recognize those times when we ourselves become or get entangled in those other places, in those other types of soil, but also to recognize when we are in the midst of those different types of soil. And encourage those around us to be in the word, to be enriched, so that they too can continue to be the good soil. That's what the soil is for us. That which is enriched by the word and produces fruit of varying kinds. I want to close with a poem that I wrote back in 2008. I was challenging myself at the time to do a poem a day for 40 days during Lent. So I wrote 40 different poems. This is just one of them, but it fits with today. And it's entitled, I Am Dirt. And I've shared this with the LWML at one of our spring retreats or rallies, and did a little teaching on it as far as this whole soil thing goes. So it's fitting, I think. It's called I Am Dirt. I am dirt, nothing more, nothing less. I sit in a pot. Sometimes I'm dry, sometimes wet. I am at the whim of the weather. In the shade, cold. In the sun, hot. I can only sit, nothing to grow, nothing to show. I am dirt. The farmer never sees just dirt. It's never only dirt. It's soil, it's earth, it's loam, it's alluvium, but never just dirt. It's a rest for precious seed. It's a nursery for new life. It's a source of nutrients. It's where the farmer chooses to plant. He is the one who makes me more than dirt. He is the one who plants life in me. He is the one who creates in me a place from which fruitful trees will grow. He is the one who brings water to create life. He is the one who brings the sun to fortify. He is the one who brings the bees to share. He is the one who will send the harvester when the time comes. I am part of the seed that sprouts. I am part of the tree that grows. I am part of the flower that blooms. I am part of the fruit that is so sweet. I am part of the body that is fed. And I am part of the next generation. I am dirt, but it is good to be dirt. Amen.